everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beneath Vancouver Radio. We are on episode number 56. Thank you so much for tuning in. Once again, I'm your host, Aaron. Hopefully you're having a wonderful day. And in today's episode, I'm joined by JJ. JJ, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for coming on the show. So I'm going to do a little bit of a ramp up here, but I'm just going to let you dive into the first question that I'm sure all of our audience members are well aware of. And JJ, who are you today?
Well, I am a home baker, but I did go to culinary school, but I'm a very family-centered person if you were to ask me who I am today. Family means everything to me, and they are actually the reason I got into baking. So that would be me of who I am today.
No, that's a great answer. I love that. Family. Yeah. It always goes back to family, making sure that you're spending time with them, taking care with them. And at the end of the day, they're your rock, right? When things get tough and stuff like that. But aside from obviously just being JJ, you're also JJ from JJ Delights. So would you be able to share a little bit? And as you can tell, if you're watching this on YouTube, which you should be if you're not already, or if you're tuning in on our audio platforms, that's totally okay as well. I'm thankful either way. But if you're watching the video version, you will see JJ's wonderful background and set up here. So would you share a little bit more, JJ, about JJ Delights, kind of how it started and what it is really, what it's all about?
Yes, definitely. So JJ Delights has been around for about 7 months now. Mm-hmm. My grandmother and my mom are actually the ones who taught me everything I know. And it was always a hobby of mine as a child. But as I grew up, it became a part of, I went to culinary school at the Art Institute. And then from there, I used it as my career. So It was really great. I started working I started up JJ Delights just because I used to work at the Vancouver Club for about 4 years. Right. But then after COVID hit and everything, I decided to leave the Vancouver Club and I started up JJ Delights business. And there were a lot of bumps in the road, I'm not gonna lie. But as everything began to progress and things began to run more smoothly, I'm really happy with where it is at today. I really hope that the brand image I really want for JJ Delights is to make good quality products, but at an affordable price for my customers.
Right.
I really just want to be able to give back to my community in that sense.
No, that's awesome. And what exactly, like, kind of, what kind of delights, you know, do you guys offer at your kind of business?
Currently at the moment, we sell cookie cups, which is basically just cookies in the form of a cup. Mm-hmm. And we also sell profiteroles, which are like cream puffs with a crunch.
Okay. So some delicious little snacks there as well, too. I'm sure you'll also see at the end as well, like when she does her shout outs, you'll see all the wonderful things on her Instagram as well. Looks all very delicious. So I'm sure that'd be a great way to start your morning or a little bit of an evening snack. So I'm going to even backtrack even further. Obviously, if you went to culinary school and in your family and obviously your family members are a big part of JJ Delights and what you've learned and everything like that. But has baking, has cooking, has like the culinary arts in general been something you've always been interested in? Was that something that you kind of stumbled upon? What's been kind of your process through, you know, culinary school and throughout the culinary field, I guess you could say, personally? Oh,
definitely my grandma and my mom who taught me everything. And from there, I started making cakes for like friends and family, birthday mm-hmm. cakes. And then I started making cookies for the Christmas holidays. And it sort of became a tradition that I would just start making things like that.
Right.
And then as I graduated high school, I was unsure of what I wanted to do. I didn't know if I wanted to go into journaling or communications. And I was really stuck for a little while. Mm-hmm. But then my sister is actually the one who told me about a week program at the school that I eventually went to. And it was a culinary program that was very interesting. And when I did it, I found that I could see myself doing this as a career. So I applied and I got in. And right from there, all the chefs that taught me, I found to be so intriguing. They taught me such new techniques and things that I didn't even imagine I could possibly do. Mm-hmm. So after I graduated from culinary school, I was offered a job right away at the Vancouver Club. And I worked there for 4 years. And during my time there, I felt like I was able to have so much freedom to create and be mix all flavors and be able to put everything into desserts that I've never had that much freedom. It was just an amazing feeling.
Right.
And that's where I actually found my love and passion for creating plated desserts, which is my favorite thing to do, because I feel like I'm able to create not just focus on cakes or breads or desserts, but like I'm able to put all those different categories into one, and I can create different flavors and make sure that everything just combines very well. Mm-hmm. And I was actually very fortunate to be able to be asked to do the women's gala there. And I created an entire plate for them, and the dish was amazing, and I couldn't have been more grateful to be given that opportunity there.
Yeah. No, that sounds wonderful. And I think as well, just hearing you explain your story and your background, it's almost, you know, I think to what I remember, we're 56 episodes in, so sometimes I forget that far at the beginning, but I believe you're the first kind of like baker or someone who's like in the culinary arts. And it's almost hearing like a very similar story as if I'm just chatting with like a videographer or a photographer or someone else in a relatively similar creative field, because it's the passion, the love to create things from scratch and share, kind of in this case, you're physically sharing, you know, your love for that, and people are eating it and enjoying it, and you get to see their, you know, their smiles and their mmms and stuff like that. So as for videographers and photographers, they do that in a similar way, in the way that people consume their kind of art is just through actually seeing it visually, right? And being able to consume it that way. So it's very unique, and it's, you know, being on this side in terms of the host side of things, it's very inspiring to hear how at the end of the day, even though everyone's got their own thing, the passion, the love for what they do is essentially stems from very similar beginnings. So it's always happy to hear that. And what's been kind of, obviously you mentioned as well, like the obstacles, and you started 7 months ago, which obviously we still are in a pandemic at the time of this recording. 7 months ago probably was a little bit worse, if not much worse than where we are right now currently. What's that kind of been like, the transition to kind of, you know, entrepreneurship and the obstacles that you faced so far? What's that kind of journey been like?
Well, I don't have a business degree, so that was a very big
challenge. Don't worry, neither do I.
I faced a lot of problems there, but I did have a lot of help from family and friends and things like that. So mm-hmm. I'm really grateful towards them. But relying a lot on my culinary and my degree from there was really what I based my stuff off of.
Right.
I'm able to rely on my techniques, knowing that what I make, I don't like to sell things that I don't think taste good to begin
of
with.
Course,
so
yeah.
I relied on that, hoping that JJ Delights, as if you taste it, you've enjoyed it because the flavor was there, the creation was there, the garnish made it look pretty, and all these things to get you intrigued. And from there, I continued on and branched it out. What a big struggle though is that I actually, my business is based off of Instagram. It started off of Instagram, but I mm-hmm. never had Instagram before my business. Yes. So that was using social media and learning all the different things about it was also a big struggle for me. And I had to rely a lot on my friends and family for that as well, because I was learning not just my business, but also how to use the platform of social media as well.
Yeah, the marketing side of things.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. And
it was very intriguing.
Yeah. And one, I guess, quick follow-up question to that is it just yourself right now in terms of like the quote unquote team, or is it, you know, obviously besides your friends and family that help out, but in terms of like full-time side of things, it's just you?
Me, yes. I do all the baking, yes. And so with mm-hmm. the kitchen baking side, that is all me. But as in team, since I have a lot of help from friends and family, we call ourselves the JJ Delights team.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I mean, at the end of the day, those are your biggest fans, right? And those are the people that are pushing you to become a better version of yourself. Obviously, from my experience, my friends and family as well have allowed me to develop through this journey, and obviously wouldn't be chatting with you here today without their support. So, you know, friends and family and other people within your close circle are the ones that hopefully can push you and, you know, help you go through those tough times, as you mentioned, every day. So it's always important to have that close circle nearby and supportive family. What's been, I guess, kind of pivoting here a little bit in terms of the actual I guess the entrepreneurial side of JJ, of yourself as an individual, what is one thing that you've learned through this process, through these past 7 months of yourself that you maybe a year or 2 years ago or however long ago, you never thought you'd be able to achieve or something that you're like, wow, I can actually do X and Y. I never thought that I would be able to do X and Y, like, you know, years ago. What's been kind of that discovery, I guess, new discovery of JJ?
Well, I definitely never thought I would have a business online on Instagram. As a matter of fact, I had many people asking me or telling me I should start a business online. There's so many people doing it. You should give it a go. And I actually not fought against it, but I kind of did. It was something I couldn't even imagine myself doing because I saw so many problems that could possibly happen and occur. And since I was not familiar with social media to begin with, I felt that starting a business on it would be a complete disaster. Mm-hmm. But I remember one day a few friends actually came over and they actually put all these different, started throwing facts at me and telling me do it, you could do this, like, and they really encouraged me. And my boyfriend and my sister and like my family, they really also encouraged me. And so it wasn't until obviously 7 months ago that I started actually considering it, and they really got me and started promoting it in the sense that made me understand that and gave me hope that yes, I can do this. And they always told me if it didn't work out, well, then it doesn't work out, but at least you gave it a shot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you got to give it a go, especially now, like obviously with COVID and everything, a lot of stuff switched to digital. So it's a good time to move into the digital space in that aspect, but it's also a lot of people are moving into that digital space. So there's a lot more noise and people, and there's obviously a bunch of, you know, local entrepreneurs that are, you know, building businesses out of their home, out of their kitchens, you know, people selling like, I just had an interview a couple episodes ago with these two girls from Vela Candle. They started making candles in their garage, and now they're doing that, right? So there's a lot of inspiration that comes from, I guess, these difficult times. So moving to digital is a good choice. I'll give your friends and family a big thumbs up on that aspect. Are you wanting a storefront at one point? Is that kind of like the envision on your JJ Delights vision board, a storefront?
I would love to have a cafe. I've always dreamed of it. It's right. During right now, obviously during COVID times, it's very hard to
justify. Predict. Yeah.
Like, but I do eventually, hopefully, want a cafe. I just don't know when that will happen.
Would you want it like any particular location, like a dream spot that you've like envisioned already? You've walked by 1,000 times and you're like, when I get a cafe, it's going to be right here with the sign up top, you know, all that dangerous. Kind of stuff. Yeah, that's probably a bit dangerous. Yeah, you're right.
I would love, I live in Burnaby and I've stayed here for almost all my life. So I would love for it to be in this community, especially since I've expanded my business right now to this area, part of the community as well. So I would love for it to be in Burnaby, but I also know Burnaby is quite expensive. So we have that aspect too.
Fair enough. Yeah, you'll have to figure out one way or another what's going on. But no, I'm hoping obviously that becomes a reality. And obviously as COVID starts to wind down, hopefully in the next couple of months and moving into 2022, that, you know, storefronts and other people as well that are in similar boats can start opening up, because we need more passion like yours in the community as well in surrounding cities. So what would be kind of the, I guess, next steps now? You know, you've done it for 7 months now, you've started up, you figured out kind of how to navigate through Instagram, through social media. Where do you see kind of JJ Delights going in the next, let's say, for the remaining half of the year? We're recording this in June, so the remaining 6 months. What's kind of like your goals for JJ Delights? Or personal as well.
Personal.
Either or.
Well, JJ Delights, it's definitely the team has been coming up with different ways to expand, and it's hard to do with COVID, but we are currently coming up with a plan. We do have something hopefully soon, okay. Something interesting I don't want to give away just yet.
Yeah, no spoilers.
We are hoping something big to be introducing to the menu sometime soon. So we do have that. But as for expanding, our 1 year anniversary is coming up soon. Mm-hmm. So we are hoping to meet we are having some big plans right now for it. Okay. And it's in the midst of planning right now. But okay. We're hoping also to one day have a pop-up store so okay. that places that are unable to come here can mm-hmm. try the desserts as well.
Yeah, no, that's a wonderful idea. And yeah, no, you know, we won't jinx it. I'll knock on wood here. And hopefully that gets all sorted out. And I know pop-up stores have been a huge success for a lot of other smaller businesses as well. Like, for example, the two ladies that I brought up earlier that from Villa Candle, they just recently did a pop-up store, I think 2 weeks ago or roughly around that timeline. And it went very well for them as well. So, and it allows you to just also connect with your community and your kind of, you know, your customers, your clientele, your community base in a more kind of one-on-one personal setting instead of maybe just doing deliveries or pickups and stuff like that. So it allows people to also see, you know, who's behind the brand and, you know, a great way to get more reach out there as well. One of the other reasons why we do this podcast, right, is a lot of people know the brands and they know the name and they recognize the name and the Instagram page, but you know, a lot of the times the owners, the founders, the people behind the brand aren't really showcased within that work, right? So it's all about bringing awareness to those individuals, the people behind the scenes, right? Everyone deserves a little bit of props of all the hard work that's going on behind the scenes. So that's important. Sorry?
My team would agree with you on that part. I was very, not against, but I was hesitant to, I guess, relate my business back to a personal aspect. So they mm-hmm. got me to do and tell a little backstory about myself. And so they would definitely agree with you about behind the scenes on that.
Yeah, no, it's the content, especially as I said earlier, where it's a little bit more starting to become a little bit more saturated now with a lot of people starting their own businesses and, you know, moving digital. It's important to kind of differentiate yourself from, you know, the other, you know, local baker or the other local creative or whatever your case might be. So just sharing a backstory, that's how people really connect with you. And we're like, wow, like I can relate to that. Or I was in similar shoes or I am in similar shoes. So yeah, it's all about that authenticity. That's the way that content is selling nowadays. But speaking about authenticity and kind of relating to people, is there anyone while growing up, obviously, besides, again, I think you've mentioned it a lot of like your family members and stuff like that, but maybe more on like the culinary side of things or on the baking side of things, anyone that you like looked up to particular and said like, wow, I aspire to be like, you know, like them or hope to have, you know, half their work ethic or something like that. Someone that pushes you every day when you're kind of like, I don't know if I want to do this or, you know, you're kind of your final push towards, all right, we're actually going for it.
Oh, culinary wise. Yes. Had a few, but I feel like the main person that sticks out to me is one of my chefs that I went to school. Mm-hmm. She was probably the hardest chef and teacher I had, but she taught me so much. She, mm-hmm. her name is Chef Pauline. She was so strict and so like, it was intense, but it was so, I could learn so much from her and the things she created. It made me speechless. Like sometimes mm-hmm. it was amazing how much I learned from her and how honest she'll be back with giving critiques and things like that. It yeah. was hard to take, but I knew it was worth it because I trusted her judgment and I trusted her personality to tell me like honestly how well and how bad I did in my current situation at the time. Mm-hmm. She actually just opened up her own store on the mm-hmm. island. So that was definitely something I looked up to compared to where I'm at right now. Mm-hmm. So she's always been the person I would reach out to if I ever had a question or if I ever wanted to talk about opening my own store. She'd be definitely the person I'd go to get that information from.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think as well, it's important to have like, again, within your circle, like someone that you can, it's almost like a mentor at some capacity, right? And mentorship is something that we've talked a lot about on this podcast. And a lot of individuals ask, you know, how do I get involved in this space, or how do I kind of put my foot forward in here when I have, you know, no credentials or no background knowledge in, you know, let's say business or, you know, photography, videography, whatever. Mentorship plays such a big role in that, and finding someone that you can, again, look up to, can speak with them and just ask questions and kind of be able to pick their brain. Right. And, that's helped me personally a lot as well, just being able to find those people within the spaces that I want to learn more. And for me, it's a lot more relatable to actually hear it from someone than to potentially like read it off a book or watch off a YouTube video or a podcast. Yeah. You know, if you are listening to a podcast, you know, shout out to my own podcast and stuff like that. So mentorship, yeah, plays a big role and continues to play a big role in my life. And I'm happy to hear that it has impacted you in a positive way as well. And for anyone as well. So I think finding a mentor in your field is super important. So go out and do that. Go ask questions, learn, and be a sponge, absorb as much information as you can. I'm curious, and I should have asked this earlier, so this is my bad. Apologies, bad host. What is kind of like your day to day? Like your, like, I mean, not necessarily from like the minute you wake up to the minute you go to sleep, but like, I'm curious as to like, what exactly is your day to day when it comes to running your business?
If it definitely varies, because it depends if it's a busy season or not. So mm-hmm.
Let's say busy season.
Oh. Yeah. Sometimes I have to pull all-nighters.
Yeah, sometimes the sleeping aspect doesn't come.
But well, I would say Christmas was probably my biggest season that I've had so far. I mm-hmm. completely pulled out with I did a holiday bundle at the time. It was my first one, and it completely sold out, and I had people asking me if I could sell more than what I was. But I was like, sorry, I actually have no boxes or like special material to give it to you.
Yeah.
So that one, it was my very first one as well. So I thought it was prepared at first. I took orders for it, and it started off with me, because I make all my products fresh on day of usually. So for that, I had to prepare how much ingredients I needed to have. And so taking pre-orders, I took it for about a month, and that was more than me just like waking up, and I would have to make sure I prep all the boxes. I had to prep all the bills and make sure I listed everything that I needed to have for when the time came for when they picked up. Mm-hmm. I actually oversold. Like, everything was off, obviously.
Uh-oh.
Yes, I oversold by about 20 boxes. And so I had to create my own boxes, and my team had to help me a lot. A
little DIY solution there.
Definitely. So before pickup actually happened, it was morely just me doing a lot of paperwork and computer and desk work, I guess mm-hmm. you could say. And then when pickup days started happening, I allowed them to pick up for about 2 weeks close to Christmas. And from that point on, it was full on. I spent day and night in the kitchen. I can't say my eating habits were good, because I was lost for time. It was insane. I was constantly baking things. The entire place just smelled like cookies and
sweets.
And I was constantly making, baking, packing. And it was kind of in that order, where I just had to make sure I had everything ready and set for when the times came picked up. And especially during COVID, I had to make sure that I didn't have too many people showing up at the same time.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You get a line up outside your place of just like, I'm here for my pickup order.
So I definitely had to set a schedule for everyone and allow everyone to come in at a certain time. Mm-hmm. So it was morely just worrying about the big orders. Some people had bought over $200 worth, and I had to really prepare those ones in advance, because just packaging them took so much time, and I really use the help of the JJ Delights team for that, especially. So
what was in the holiday bundle? Sorry, I forgot to ask.
For my Christmas one, I did a cookie package. So I did a hot chocolate bundle. They're called hot chocolate. So in my cookie cups, my regular cookie cups aren't meant for hot drinks, to be honest, because I line them just so that the cookie doesn't get soggy. But for the bundles, I did an extra coating of chocolate mm-hmm. to make sure that it could withstand the heat. And so I created, I gave 4 cookies in a bundle and I did different flavors. So I sold caramel, chai, peppermint, and butterscotch Bailey's. And you can buy a sampler which contained one of each flavor, or you can buy a certain flavor in a package. And with it, I gave you a small little test tube, kind of like with a cork, and it came with a hot chocolate mix that I created. And all you had to do was add some milk to it or water, and you just poured it into the cup, and it was like hot chocolate in a mini cookie cup.
Wow. Is there a confirmation on the second round of holiday bundles this coming holiday season? Can we confirm that on the podcast?
I don't know if my customers would like me to do another round of it or not. So I was going to take a vote and see if people actually were interested in buying it again, or if they were okay with having, or they wanted something new. So
something new, yeah.
I would love to see what they actually would like. I can't confirm because it all depends on what my customers would like.
No, that's totally fair. Well, when that poll does happen, I'm gonna click the round 2 for holiday bundle, because that all sounds very good. And it all just makes me all nice and cozy and just drinking that next to a fireplace. So right now, not so much the weather right now to do so, because it's again June of when we're recording this, but you know, we'll catch up again in a couple of months to see where we're at with that. So yeah.
Well, that was exactly what I was trying to go for. Christmas holiday, it's in tradition in my family that I always make cookies on Christmas morning. So I wanted to kind of put that tradition into my business. And so I created the cookie cup hot chocolate bundle because I always need cookies and hot chocolate for Christmas morning.
Yeah. You're like sharing that tradition. Again, a great way to connect with your audience members is like sharing the traditions with other people as well, and letting them be a part of, again, quote unquote, the JJ family. So it's very nice. It's a very nice touch. And yeah, I'm hoping that in all seriousness, hopefully that's either not that bundle, but another sort of bundle does happen, because that all sounds very good. And I know I'll be buying a few. So my brother lives in Burnaby, so I'll get him to pick up. Exactly. No, well, unfortunately, we are nearing kind of the final minutes of the episode here. And I've really enjoyed sharing your story, JJ, and just hearing as well the importance of, I think in your case, really, and I'm sure other people that have been on the podcast also have this, but it hasn't been as mentioned as much, actually, to my surprise. And that's the importance of family. So a family for me personally also plays a big role in my life and everything that I do, and all the work that that's been going on the last couple of years. So I can definitely relate, and I'm sure the people who are tuning in can also relate to that, especially if you're venturing into the unknowns, right, into something completely new and new territory, knowing that your family's got your back and by your side no matter what, and can support you in times of need, as you've mentioned a couple times. It's always nice to have that feeling and that extra support. So I'll wrap up the episode now with the way that we've been wrapping it up for the last couple of episodes, or well, I guess can't even say couple now, but the last few episodes. And that is with the good old question of what piece of advice would you give to younger JJ and why?
Younger JJ.
And that can be yesterday, if something amazing happened yesterday, or that can be, you know, years in the past, depending on what your timeline is.
I would say, I guess, to trust my instincts. I have a tendency to overthink things, I guess. And so my family wants me to. They're constantly giving me advice and telling me that I just trust my gut, trust my instincts. And I guess that's what I would tell myself, is not to worry as much. Don't stress out. Just trust. If my instincts tell me this is the right thing, it's probably the right thing.
Yeah. I wish I took your advice when I was still writing exams. You know, I put in in C and then second guess myself, put in A, and then the right answer was C. And I'm like, damn it. That's
I can get to you.
Yeah, exactly. Probably not to the scale of starting your own business or venturing into something different as just getting one wrong answer on a multiple choice exam. But, you know, the concept is still there. No, thank you, JJ. I really do appreciate it. It's been an absolute blast chatting with you. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And you've got now roughly 30 seconds. You can take as long as you want, but I like to say 30 seconds. But this is your time to shine. You can plug in anything. Where can people find you? People connect with you? And where can people see more about JJ Delights and the wonderful things that you and the team are doing?
Oh, well, you can definitely find me on a lot of social media platforms. Now
I'm on all of them now.
Yeah, I'm on all of them now. And as well, I also have a website that you can go to I have two actually. And so there's that. And you can also find me on Instagram, Facebook, you name it.
Okay.
But yeah. And as for new things that are coming, well, there's going to be a new addition to the menu, as well as hopefully new surprises and intriguing things in the near future.
Excellent. I know I'm looking forward to that, and I'm sure the listeners are as well. I'll put all the links to your socials and all your websites and stuff like that in the description down below. If you're watching on YouTube, or if you're tuning in on an audio platform, that'll be in the podcast description as well. So you can be able to connect with JJ and see, again, the amazing work that she and the team are doing. Thank you again to all of our listeners for tuning in. Again, if you are watching on YouTube, I'd greatly appreciate it if you would hit that like and subscribe button. If you want to see more amazing content and see more of what is hidden beneath Vancouver, you can take a look at previous episodes as well. Once again, this is Aaron from Beneath Vancouver Radio. This was episode number 56. Have a wonderful day. Take care, everyone. Bye.